Welcome to the Infotainment Podcast Initiating Startup Sequence.
Hi, my name is Randy, and the Infotainment Podcast will begin shortly. I will be your round mound of podcast sound, pound for pound, the best podcast around. Hello, everybody, to this episode of Infotainment. First up, in my attempt to stay at least 6 foot away from people when I'm out in public, you know, the 6 foot thing is just how arbitrary it is, but I would not use it as a strict rule. If you can stand more than 6 foot away from somebody, I would. But I'm not having a trouble doing that with people. I wish people would do that when standing next to me. Stand at least 6 foot away, if not more. But I'm finding that people around here are not following guidelines. Like, I'm seeing kids playing around and they're not adhering to anything. So I don't know what to think. This is gonna go around and around and around here, I believe. Like the other day, I was at the Quick Trip convenience store here in town. Maybe you have them in your area. But I was off in the middle of nowhere by their picnic table benches off from the main building. And a guy comes up to me and goes, "Hey, man, what's up, my dude?" I'm like, "You're way closer than 6 foot away from me, carrying your six-pack of Budweiser or whatever beer it was." I'm like, not much. I didn't say anything, but it's like people are just itching to get out, and everyone's outside, it seems. And as I walk down the street, I see people standing there closer than 6 foot in distance. And it's just, we're just gonna stress out our healthcare system more and more, I believe. But that's the way it goes. We gotta get this economy going. One thing that Trump has said that was true, and in the end, the cure can't be worse than the disease. We have to expect that a lot more people are going to die from it. It's sad, but true. The China virus. But otherwise, I wish this area in southwest Minnesota would decide whether it wants to be spring or fall. Getting a little sick of wearing shorts and a short sleeve shirt one day, and then dressing for fall-like temperatures the next day. Yesterday was beautiful, and today it really sucks. So, welcome to the episode. I'm a ball of sunshine today and ready to podcast. Although one disturbing thing I heard about podcasting, now there may be more podcasts than people who listen to them. I think there are like over a million. I think they should be split up into TV netcasts and radio netcasts. But that's the way it goes. Hopefully we'll pick up some more listeners as this medium grows. I got a picture over Facebook the other day that was kind of humorous. It was a picture of Clint Eastwood, and supposedly he said that if you're driving alone wearing a mask, it is like sleeping alone wearing a condom. And pretty much true. This is me crumpling up my Mega Millions lottery ticket. Not a winner. I had two numbers on it. And it was over 100 million some. I forget the number on it. But not a winner, unfortunately. So I could get out of this one horse town. Not a winner. Maybe next time. I do have a news story from Texas. It was a Go Topless Jeep weekend. It leads to a hilarious viral news report and 180 arrests. Video footage of an event on a Texas beach showed maskless people twerking, drinking, and standing way too close together. A wild beach event last weekend in Galveston County, Texas, and it led to the 180 arrests. Thousands of people gathered on the Gulf Coast Boulevard Peninsula to celebrate Go Topless Jeep Weekend. I guess they were all topless in their Jeeps. An annual event that seems to be, it has more meaning this year for people who have lived the past months mostly stuck in their homes. We've been in quarantine and I need to get out and party. Beachgoer Chelsea Coyer told Galveston NBC affiliate KBMT in a news report that has since gone viral. Coyer claimed that she was taking precautions to keep from getting the coronavirus by washing her hands for 20 seconds. I guess she should be applauded for that much. But the station's video of the event captured lots of people twerking without masks, as well as drinking and standing very close together. Police at the event admitted that enforcing social distancing was pretty much impossible, the New York Post noted. We do what we can. We cannot control individuals or what people do as far as their life. We just try to manage the best way and whatever scenario occurs. Galveston County Sheriff Henry Trochette told KBMT. Trochette later told NBC News that two men were shot in their torsos after an argument. Both had to be airlifted to the hospital. Their conditions have not been released. Police were looking for a third man who fled the scene. All told, more than 180 attendees were taken into custody for numerous unrelated crimes, including assault, driving without a seatbelt, driving while intoxicated, and public drunkenness, NBC News reported. By comparison, 80 people were arrested and 6 people were taken to the hospital at the 2019 event. A few locals were disappointed in some of the attendees' behavior, and not enough people were going topless.
Ooh.
Boulevard resident Justin Weaver wondered to Fox News why we can't have nice things. I don't know why it's so hard to people just to show up and have fun these days, Weaver said. It disappoints me to see that kind of violence come to here because it's usually really quiet here. It's just disappointing to see that's the kind of thing that's happening. You'll probably see more of that as people come out of their holes. On the other hand, KBMT's coverage of the event went viral thanks to footage that amplify and demonstrates how people go crazy can get after 2 months at home. I should watch the video on that. Sounds interesting. I wouldn't go to it unless I was wearing a mask and not hanging around a whole bunch of people, but just to see the sights anyway. I tell you what, if anybody needs to get out and party, it's me, not having a vehicle at the moment. And like that 93-year-old woman that held up a sign in her window that she needed beer and held up a Coors Light sign, I need to make a neon sign that says, I need the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders to come here and practice. That woman that does the judging on that TV show, I don't even know if they do it anymore. She needs a second opinion, and I'm sure I would give everyone an A+. Twerking, not required, but recommended. It's BYO boobs, booze. That'd be a great sign. But I don't have a good window to put that in. If I was at the front of the apartment building, it'd be. But I would make an excellent judge. And look at the health benefits of this. I wouldn't have to leave my apartment for a few months.
Oh, baby, you are the best.
That was legitness.
Now, this next story comes under the heading of extreme stupidity and, well, creativity. Stupidity in committing the crime and creativity in how they did it. Two men rob convenience store wearing watermelon rind disguises. One suspected melon head has been charged and the other is being sought. They took the time to carve out a watermelon for where other people would use like a ski mask or something, a mask that you could buy at a Halloween store or something like that. These men were wearing actual watermelons for a mask. As disguises go, these were pretty seedy. Police in Louisa, Virginia took to social media on Saturday in hopes of finding two men accused of robbing a convenience store. Now, if you're spending that much time carving out a mask with a watermelon rind, wouldn't you want to rob some place that would have more cash on hand? You could rob a bank, you know, and become the melon-headed bandits or something like that. And they wore the watermelon rinds on their heads. Surveillance camera at a Sheetz caught the scofflaws in the act. At a Sheetz. S-H-E-E-T-Z. I've never heard of that convenience store. They managed to elude authorities thanks to their brilliant disguises and quotations, according to the New York Post. That is until Sunday, when authorities arrested 20-year-old Justin Rogers in connection with what the Post deemed the melodrama. Rogers was booked on three charges, according to TMZ. Misdemeanor larceny of alcohol, misdemeanor possession of alcohol by an underage person, and felony prohibition of wearing a mask face covering in public. Now everyone is wearing masks, but I guess you can't do that while robbing. Police are still on the lookout for the second person. What's trending? Joe Rogan is abandoning the open internet. Oops. Yeah, might have to look at that. Suppose it's all be. There we got another one. Police are still on the lookout for a second person, according to the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Candace Went, a customer at the convenience store where the robbery took place, thought the disguises fell in that thin line between stupid and clever. Well, it was stupid to rob a convenience store after spending so much time with their headgear, but stupid and clever. I think it's ridiculous. Innovative, but ridiculous, Went told WRIC-TV. The amount of work that you have to do to actually hollow out a watermelon to stick it on your head, I think it is kind of crazy. Yeah, I'd say so. But I guess it's about the only deal that you can't do it with an orange or an apple. Or well, hopefully it was a delicious melon that they ate out of the morning. They sort of half got away with it, but let me see here.
You failed.
I think if I were going to try something like that, I would do it at Halloween time and buy one of those plastic fake pumpkins and see what I could do with that, and wear a black cloak and pick a higher value target, and where there's lots of people around dressed up, and where I could ditch them and ditch my costume quick, change my appearance as quick as possible, and have a garbage bag and dump my costume somewhere, and hopefully somebody's garbage. But that's just my thought on it. It's be a whole less messy, and I don't know what their thinking was to do that. Now, this Vermont man was a little angry because, well, he takes revenge on the town board with a 700-pound statue of a middle finger. We wanted to show our appreciation, he explained. A Vermont man was so incensed by his town's zoning regulations that he erected a 700-pound statue, giving officials the middle finger, and lit it with floodlights so they would always be reminded of his feelings toward them. Ted Pelkey's decade-long feud with local officials reached spiteful new heights November 30th when he installed the statue on a high pole in his front yard near Route 28. After his request to relocate his monofilament cleaning and truck repair business from a nearby town to his own property was
denied.
Yeah, it was denied. Pelkey said officials won't let him build the garage simply because they don't like him, and he thought the middle finger was just the right response. He wanted to show our appreciation, Pelkey told Vice News. The Westford Select Board and Development Review Board
denied
Pelkey's request for a large garage, asserting that his application did not meet the town's standards for a variety of reasons. Among them, Pelkey's application lacked necessary information about lighting that will likely be needed for security purposes, and did not effectively describe the purpose of the building, officials said. But while Pelkey couldn't legally build a garage, he does have the legal right to flip off town officials for all eternity. Though billboards are banned in Vermont, Pelkey's middle finger is protected because it isn't advertising a business or service. Furthermore, the middle finger is a gesture that is generally protected by the First Amendment. So Pelkey's $4,000 statue, man, I think I would have found a cheaper way to make my feelings known. Maybe something like a politician's little poster board and a billboard thing that you put, not billboard, but you post in your front yard. Kind of thing with the middle finger. It seems to come under the category of public art. He apparently can do what he's done, Allison Hope, chair of the Westford Select Board, told the Burlington Free Press. As it turns out, even the billboards are banned advertisements in Vermont. The middle finger has gotten more attention for Pelkey's business, than any roadside sign ever would have. Twitter users have exposed a growing admiration for his pettiness, and there's even a Facebook fan page for Pelkey's wooden finger statue. Oh, it's only made out of wood. $4,000? Man, that guy made a nice payday for the wood carver. Pelkey's attorney appealed the board's decision several weeks ago and is awaiting a decision, according to the Burlington Free Press. Well, with the middle finger there, I think that probably will be
denied.
Well, now let's take a hard left turn and talk about Turdy Works, a new business that uses moose and deer turds. They have a show on the True TV network. I don't know how they came up with the idea to use turds to make artwork, but they did. Let's see. Turdy Works is a shop that specializes in moose poop and deer poop made products. Mary Weichenbach, the owner and founder of Turdy Works, a Maine-based company, has had so much success making and selling these turds that she left her job working at a seaweed plant, Ocean Organics, to keep up with the demand for these products. What types of products does she sell? She sells a variety of products like poo-poo clocks, fecal people, moose turd earrings, deer rings, poopsicles, and a lot more. When asked and how she first got started with this endeavor, she responded by saying this: "I had way too much time on my hands, and one day when I was in the woods, I found a pile of turds and jokingly thought how funny it would be to put eyeballs on it and call it shitheads. So I did." You might be wondering why anyone would want a poop-made product, but Mary's products are purchased from all over the world. For one, a store in Alaska sells her products at their local store. In addition, she's had numerous international sales from countries such as Russia, Greece, and Denmark. Right now, Mary and Turdy Works are swamped with orders and are actually backed up for a couple weeks from the demand for her products. Turdy Works has their own website, but also does a lot of business pushing their products through Facebook and Etsy. The cost of one product from Turdy Works can range anywhere from $6 for a keychain to $45 for a poo-poo clock. Mary and her Turdy Works company has gotten so much attention that even Hollywood got a hold of her, and the Tosh.0 show on Comedy Central asked her to be on their program, in which she agreed and will be featured on an upcoming episode set to air sometime within the coming months. It is like, who knew it would be more profitable to make art out of shit than actually do a podcast? But they do not really say how they make the poop last. I'd hate to have it in a hot summer day. What's that smell? Maybe they shellac everything. I don't know. I've seen part of one show, and I didn't see them use any gloves. And most of those people, their necks are pretty red. At least the ones from Turdy Works, anyway. I mean, who would buy that? I guess there are people that do, and pay them money for it. So if you want shitty art, check out Turdy Works on True TV or their website, and you can get your poo-poo clock. Oh, by the way, the turdy in Turdy Works is spelled T-I-R-D-Y. Now, this item comes under the heading of really stupid people. I saw a video the other day where a guy had sticker letters in the back window of his truck that read, "Cops are dicks." You talk about painting a bullseye on your vehicle for getting stopped at every street corner. Plus, he had no license plate on the back of the truck. So, double whammy there.
You failed.
I wouldn't be surprised if they found any reason to do some of this to him. For that sign and no license plate. But I suppose he'd sue the city dry on that if they didn't have a real excuse. Okay, this next item could only come from the state of Florida. It is an old ratty welcome mat in front of a Florida home that says, "Come back with a warrant," and deputies obliged. After following the mat's helpful advice, Flagler County Sheriff's deputies allegedly found fentanyl and drug paraphernalia inside the home. The Daytona Beach News Journal reports the home in Palm Coast was part of an investigation into illegal drugs. After seeing the doormat, authorities say the Flagler County Sheriff's Office got the warrant. Deputies found the fentanyl and drug paraphernalia inside during a search late last week. The poison peddler had a doormat that said, "Well, come back with a warrant." Our detectives did a great job in following up on tips received on this residence. We still have some follow-up work to do, but for now, the deadly drugs and syringes seized are off the streets. Investigators say there were four people inside, but no arrests were made immediately. The Florida Department of Children and Families were contacted regarding a child at the home. Oh, nice. Not good. Even looking at that ratty welcome mat, I don't think I could go in there without a warrant. You can just tell by that there's suspicious activity going on in that. It kind of looks like a dump, but glad it's off the street. You know, a little bit of that fentanyl can put you 6 feet under.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
Now I think it is time to warp drive this podcast to the interwebs. You can check out my Facebook page. You can tweet my Twitters at Randy Podcaster. You can email me a comment at randyms12@gmail.com. Question or concern about this show? Tell me you like it, dislike it, hate it. Whatever. But if it is good and say an under 10 minute read, I might read it over the air. But as always, have a pleasant day today and a happy ending tonight.
Legitness.